Halacha Kuf Mem Aleph. Yesterday we concluded with the Malach, the Klal Yisrael agreed the Malachim, Ma Paul Kel. The one that asked the question is the Malachim. That was what we concluded up to Kuf Mem Aleph. Some very interesting halachas. Some of this may not be very relevant today, but the lessons, I guess the deeper meaning certainly is. Mish ibet kuntris oy chumish oy kesuvim oy nevim. Make believe you're back in the ancient times. Ancient times before the printing press was invented. And every printing press, the Bramberg was the first Talmud was the first printed book was the Bible, right?
Right.
What year?
Gutenberg. 1500s.
1400s. And the first Talmud was printed, what, how many years later?
About 25 years.
25 years later?
The Sassino was the first Jewish printing press.
So the Sefer Chassidim was certainly written before the invention of the printing press. Everything a person had was handwritten. A person that had Torah, Nevi'im, Kesuvim, and guess what happens? A Chumash gets lost. You have a Chumash Devarim, and you study Chumash Devarim, and it gets lost. So what do? You have no choice. You take out some parchment, and you take out your quill and your inkwell, and you borrow your neighbor's Chumash Devarim, and you start copying letter by letter.
This is why they had all the mistakes. The Rif and Xuvis mentions why there were mistakes.
Many mistakes, because they copied.
No, it wasn't from copying. It was because they tried to make it even faster, so they had somebody sitting there reading it to somebody else.
To multiple people.
Without looking at it, he would read it to him, and he would
make mistakes.
Transcribe it, and above in a vase.
Full of mistakes.
Sound the same, a chaf and a ches sound the same, and so there was a lot of vavs and vases. And
he gives
the example there by Hilchus, by Sheva Brachas, the Lashonos.
The Gir Sois, that's Rashi's.
From Bichala, he says it's Bichala.
Rashi spent a lot of time on establishing the correct girsa.
Right.
Rashi collected many manuscripts and he would study them to establish the correct girsa. Look, when they put that, I told you many times, they put out the new Shas. The art school now use the folios of the Oiz V'Hodor edition. What I think it says there in the Hagdama that they used, they have on the side, a little teeny thing on the side, Hagos, Vitsiyoinim. And that is a compilation of 41 manuscripts. When they worked over the Shas Bavli, they worked at it for 7 years. They had 41 manuscripts. They compared the manuscripts to establish the correct girsa in the Gemara. I once went to a shir mitzvah Shabbos, and the Rashivi gave his whole pilpul shir. I told him to give a pilpul shir mitzvah Shabbos on the daf. And when he finished the shir, I went over and I said to him, "Your whole shir, look at the little dot of the little letter on the new edition of the Oiz V'Hadar. It, your whole shir is all in the girsa. It all depends on the girsa and the hagois on the side." And he was baffled that the whole he had a kasha, something in the Gemara didn't make sense, and he developed this whole pilpul. And I said, "The whole question doesn't begin if you just add a vav." Or you take away a letter. And indeed, in the Oiz V'Hodor edition of the Bavli, they have discovered that in many of the 41 manuscripts that they've examined, there's a different girsa of the Gemara. And that girsa of the Gemara answers all of your questions or brings out the entire point. And he was like blown away. He was blown away by... what about Yerushalmi? How many manuscripts do we have of Yerushalmi? 3. Can you imagine how delicate 3? That's all we have today that are extant. 3 manuscripts of Talmud Yerushalmi.
When was that printed?
It was printed with those one the dates of those manuscripts. I don't know the dates of those manuscripts when they were copied.
He would know. He put out that book.
But Bavli, there are 41. There are more, probably more than 41. Okay, that's what, so. Here we have in the ancient times. When you write a sefer, you would hand copy it by yourself, letter by letter. Now, here's what he's saying. He's saying something that to us really is very bizarre. A person, he buys parchment, and the parchment is enough to write the entire parsha, whatever he planned to write, and he starts copying from his neighbor's edition. And then in the middle of here, when he's halfway through, he gets his cell phone rings, and he gets a text, WhatsApp, we found your chumash in Niagara Falls. It was there. You left it when you went on vacation. You get a text when you went on your jet. You mix old and new. We found your edition. Oh, you found it. So now I don't need this. I'm wasting my time here. I went and I started writing. I got halfway through the parasha, and the parchment has been sanctified, and I got halfway through the parasha. I don't need it anymore. Waste of time to go and copy letter by letter because my original, my copy has been found. So now, what am I going to do now? I spent all this money. I purchased parchment. And you have to understand that it was written by Kedusha because once already I'm writing it on parchment with ink. D'yoy as Kedusha. I wrote half of it. I'm not going to waste my time writing the other half because I don't need it. So you know what? Let me use the other half of the parchment. I'll write my own commentary. I'll write my own notes on the other half of the parchment. You can't do that. Why not? Because since you have sanctified this parchment for the purpose of writing a chumash, which is basically a Sefer Torah, it has a degree of sanctity which you're not allowed to downgrade and use for mundane purposes, even to write your notes or your chidushim. You only can use this for a davar shabbat kedusha. Now, to us, this whole halacha is very, you know, it's not relevant, this halacha, but there are lessons. Let's see what we read over here. It says, Mish'ibed kuntris, a person lost a kuntris, a pamphlet, a chumash, let's say an entire chumash of a chumash, one of the chamish chumash Torah, ay kisuvim, ay neviim, ve hischa lichtav acher. And he buys parchment. He sanctifies it. He begins to copy letter by letter. And after, when he's halfway through, he discovers his original. What am I going to do now? It's halfway done. This empty space. I might as well use it for my notes. I have chidushim. Osur lichtoiv b'chelik ha'nishor dvorim achedim gam midivrei soifim. Even to write Rashi, to write there, the Mefarshim, other commentators over there, Lefi Sha'oz Nikro Hu Ikor, because Sha'oz Nikro Hu Ikor, V'hachumash Tofel. Because by doing so, what's going to happen is, now it's not really clear, I'm not really clear what he means to say, when we read the Parish Society, is because then, since you don't need it, so really what is now going to become the primary use of this parchment? Your commentary. And the words of Chumash on top are only going to be secondary. That's a disgrace. I try to say this, that it's the sanctity of the parchment. It's not, he's saying, that's not saying that. He's saying is that if you're now going to make a commentary, the commentary is going to be the Ikur, and the words of the Torah are going to be secondary. It sounds very bizarre to us. Let's see how we learn on the side. On the side he writes over here, let's go through very quickly. Mish ibid kuntris on the very, very top on the right side. Ratzalama, shnevag menu kuntris. Bein sh'oysoy kuntris hu shal chumash. Oy shal neviim. Oy kisuvim. Mikol makam hu kodoy sh'yoysoy v'divrei soifim. It's holier than the words of Rashi, the words of the commentators. Al kain, therefore, im his chalichtav bedaf acher mi kuntris, if you begin to write a page, uch shnichtav oysoy adaf nimtzar rishon, and then you find your original. Also, lichtav b'chalik ha'nishar, the blank parchment, Afilu divrei soifrim, even the words of the Rabbanim. Why? Lefi v'chulu umishum sheshnei hadafim heim michubodim yachad. The two pages are attached one to another. The heim sodin echad. It's considered to be one complete page, one complete sodin, like one garment, so to speak. The ein reshai la sois tofel lachaveroi dovar hamukush yoitzer mechaveroi. It's very bizarre to us what he's saying, is that it's a disgrace that the words of the Torah should only be a tofel to the words of the Chachamim. Now you'll say to me, so how can you ever write a Sefer? Like today, let me explain this. It could very well be that this explains why it may have not been done like that years ago. I'm talking very vague. Let me explain. Let's say you want to write a Perush on Chumash. Today, in our modern world, 21st century, how do you go about publishing a perush, your insights into a chumash? Well, you take a book, and you first, on the top, you put the pesukim, right? The psukim. And then on the bottom, you put your comment. So when a person wants to read your commentary, he needs to reference the source. So you're doing him a favor. You have the source, the chumash on top. That's the way we would do it today. If you would not do that today, you'd be insane not to do that today. But if you notice, a lot of the old svarim, they didn't do it like that. A lot of the old svarim, the mefarshim, the rishonim, when they wrote chidushim, and they were even, let's say, not rishonim, because they were in the printing press by the rishonim a little bit later, they did not write in their sefer the text. They just wrote their commentary. So someone like me will think, well, why? Well, in those days, it was very expensive. You're going to pay someone to lay out the text of the Chumash? It's a fortune. Well, not like today. You just copy and paste in 2 seconds and everything is electronic. It's a fortune to get someone to write, to put the Chumash on the top and then to write your commentary on the bottom. And it's just not practical to do so when the printing first began. So it seems like that's not correct. What? Even much later. But it seems like it's not correct. It seems like that back in the day, it wasn't necessarily so difficult or impossible to put on the page the Chumash or whatever Tanakh, and then to have your commentary on the bottom. It wasn't impossible. It was deliberately not done because it's a disgrace for the Chumash. The only reason why you're publishing this book is because of your commentary. So why are you putting, that's what you're putting it for. So why then are you putting the holy words of the Chumash of the Bible on the page? A reference. It's a reference. Because it makes it easier for the person that's going to read your commentary to reference the source to understand what you're trying to say when they look back at the pasuk. That's a disgrace. That means you're putting on paper holy words, not because you want to put the holy words there. You couldn't care less about the holy words. You couldn't care less about the holy words. You're only putting the words there because it enhances your commentary. Now, this to us sounds bad, right? To us, it was so far removed from the sensitivity from this concept that we look at this as being sugar. But the truth is, they're right.
They're right.
Okay? You're only putting. I know an example of a person who actually published. I mean, it's not, you know, argue it's not true. People, they will tell me it's not nice to say this. He gave out a beautiful chumash. Beautiful chumash. He gave out. Why are you giving a beautiful chumash? Because in the back of the chumash, he wrote his commentary. So if I'm going to give out my commentary to you, let's say I write a sefer. Who could care less what I have to say? Someone wants to go say a good varn in the parasha. There are a lot better svarim to say. So someone's going to read what I have to say. Got to be. There are a lot better things come there. But if I'll give you a beautiful chumash. For free, a beautiful chumash. I'll give you a chumash. And in the back of the chumash, I'll put my chidushim. So nu, ben gavra le gavra, you have nothing better to do, you'll read what I have to say. So I don't have any interest in giving you a chumash. There are plenty of chumashim on the shelf. But I want you to read my chidushim. The technique of me forcing you or having an opportunity for you to read my chidushim is, I will give you a whole chumash. A beautiful chumash, and in the back of the chumash, I'll write my few little words of whatever, and that way, so isn't that the extreme example of what it says over in the Sefer Chassidim? The whole Sefer is really, the whole Chamisha Chumash Torah is only a tofel to my chidushim. Because if I would not be able to publish my chidushim, I would certainly not give you a free chumash.
No, I don't think so.
What?
It's a difference if you're putting it on top or you're putting the whole chumash.
I hear what you're saying.
I want to make money. I print all the chumashim in one volume, and at the end I leave blank pages to record all your births and your families. And I put a nice cover on it.
Today, look, obviously today, it is 100% acceptable. We said 100 times, we don't paskin like 90% of what it says in Sefer Chassidim. In Sefer Chasim, there are some extreme statements, extreme things that we don't paskin like that. Maybe they're paskin like that. This is one example. Because if you would take seriously what he says over here, it would completely change the industry. Completely change the industry of people publishing. So today, it's unacceptable. If you want to publish a sefer on Chumash, certain things, drushes maybe not, but you want to give a commentary on a text, it's unheard of. There's no publisher that would even.
The Perish Lema, Kasher, the Chumashim, I think he has the articles after the Chumash.
But he has the Chumash there.
Yes, first he has a regular Chumash.
That's right, he has Kuntresim. He has Kuntresim, he has the text, it's a perfect example. Torah Shlema, the entire text of the Chumash, of Chamishei Chumash, the Torah is in the, he didn't finish, only got up to Vayikra, he didn't finish the whole thing. Someone went, took over. But the entire text is there. And then he has his commentary, then he has Kuntresim in the back, he has more things, but the whole text is there. Today, we look at this, like we laugh at this. But
it's harder to learn.
So it's harder to learn. If they're sat, it's only a tofel. I'm only publishing. We don't do it exactly.
You take a look, by the way, tomorrow, when I was sitting in Beis Medrash, I made a point one time while we were reading. I laughed and I said, look at that. The Divrei HaMaskil on a piece of Gemara, the pasuk was misquoted. I said to the Rebbe, and he said, that's done on purpose. They don't want to write a whole pasuk.
Right.
Because this time they had to use the whole pasuk. And they wouldn't do it in the Gemara to write a whole pasuk.
90%.
They said, no, that's not a mistake. I mean, right. They understood. Of course they know. I said, I can't believe they didn't know the pasuk. It's misquoted. He said, no, it's not.
90% of the psukim in the Gemara are misquoted on purpose because of this reason. Dvarim Shabbal, you're not allowed.
Right. Well, he didn't want. He also, that was part of the explanation that he gave me. That
you're not allowed to take a pasuk out of context and just the Gemara was bal peh. The Gemara was really a record of discussions that took place amongst the Talmidim bal peh. Dvarim Shabbal peh. You're not permitted to put into print Torah. You're not permitted to quote Psukim Baal Peh. And the Talmud Bavli really is a form of Torah Sheh Baal Peh. So the Psukim in the Gemara are deliberately misquoted. There's usually a word that is incorrect in the Pasuk, and that's done by design because of a prohibition to quote Psukim Baal Peh. Even though it's in the Gemara, so it's in the text, but being that the entire Talmud is just a recording of what took place between Talmidim, Baal Peh, to preserve that style, that Dvar Moshe Baal Peh, when you're speaking out loud, you're not allowed to quote Psukim outside of reading it in the Sefer, so it was deliberately done where you're not actually quoting the Pasuk correctly, so you should not be in violation of that halacha. That's another idea.
Well, they write only part of the pasuk.
Part of the pasuk, right? Part of the pasuk. It's also
they always leave out the operative word.
Like even by a wedding, on a wedding invitation, doesn't say the pasuk. It says nala is kol nala simchas kol sasim. There's no such pasuk that they write on the top of the invitation. Kol sasim, kol simchol kasim. It's a misquote. It's a misquote. I forget all the details. We should really study. One day we should talk and do that. Be very, very good to take invitations, and I'll bring in 20 invitations. And we should study that. That'd be a very good shiur. To study wedding invitations. We gotta do that one day. I remember the Rosh was in Tarv Das, so the Rosh Kollel, Rabbi Williger, so I became a little friendly with him. So when I was there a while ago, so he married off one of his children and he gave me an invitation and he said to me, he's a tremendous Talmud Chacham. So he said to me, I want you to find me in the invitation, I'm giving you 10 chidushim. 10 chidushim lehalacha in the invitation. So I found some of them, not all of them. And he showed me lehalacha, all the different nuances. Who would imagine? Who would imagine in a simple invitation there can be so much halacha?
A long writing.
Oh boy.
That also, that's one of the issues. All the issues. So believe me, that would be a very good topic. The dates. A lot of what?
How many will later bring in?
Well, I have to prepare first. I have to get hold of it to prepare. But I have at home a lot of invitations. I have, but it will be something very interesting to do to dissect wedding invitation. Yeah.
Sometimes you get things in the mail where there are all different kinds of tefillas, all different kinds of things that you really don't need, but and they write down the organization and the contact information, and you can't throw it out because it's
you can't throw it out.
What?
You can see a lot of these things. They're not written with kedusha. Even if it has Hashem's name on it half the time. Just do not dispose of these things bederech bezoyin. You put them in. You put anything that was printed with the understanding that it's temporary. All the tzedlach you see on the tables, even if chas v'shalom, Hashem gets in there. They forget to take out. It says yudkei vavkei. I know that people don't want to hear this. They're going to say, "Oh, don't." You're not going to find it in writing. But Me'ikar Hadin, even if it has Hashem's name on it, it was printed by a machine. It was not printed by a person with kavana. It was an accident. It's on a piece of paper that was meant to be disposed of. Just look at it like a blot of ink. As long as you dispose of it in a dignified way, it's fine. You put it in a plastic bag, a paper, put it in a plastic bag, and it's probably illegal now to have plastic, right? You can't have a plastic bag anymore, right?
Oh, yeah.
So put it in a paper bag, and you put it in the recycling material, and you cover it nicely, and let the sanitation come and take it away. That's fine. A child is a little more complicated. Once a child is a gil chinuch, and he already writes words of Torah with kavana, that's not anymore a printer. That's already a human being putting down words on paper with kedusha. So then there is a degree of sanctity, and it may indeed require to be disposed of in a more dignified way. Even though, unfortunately, if you see how they dispose of it, how they dispose of Seamus, you wonder to yourself, maybe it's more dignified to put it with the recycling material. What? Also, any words of Torah that are written by a human being with a pen, and there's a kavana being written, even a child, he writes, Moda ani lefenechem elchai v'kayam. I don't know, Moda ani, maybe that's not. It's a pasuk. If you write a pasuk or a maimer chazal, maybe say Moda ani, I don't think so. Moda ani doesn't really have kedusha to say that's kedusha, but if you write a pasuk in Chumash for sure, then it has to be put in Seamus. What do they do with Seamus? What do they do? So today's a little bit better. You have to know where you're giving your Seamus. So they basically, they bury it. They bury it. It used to be, now they have private places to bury Seamus in the Catskills. But before they had private places, they would bury it in the exact same landfills where they would bury, they would put all your regular garbage.
I used to bury
the only difference is...
used to dig a hole in the ground and bury it. That's all.
The only difference used to be they would go to the same landfills upstate and they would let them put in dump. It's just like mom's dump, not in a dignified way, all the Seamus. They would then put a plastic liner on top of it. It's a plastic liner, which probably was not even too good. And then the city, the state, would dump on top of it all the other garbage, all the other schmutz. So it was really buried together, the Seamus was really buried together with all the other garbage in the landfill. The only difference is that supposedly, before they put all the other schmutz on top of it, they laid out a plastic liner on top of it to prevent the other garbage from seeping in too. So is that really a dignified way to bury Seamus?
No.
Not really. No. So all this is a very big secret until someone went and followed the trucks secretly.
Yeah.
Secretly, there's a lot of scandals going on.
Yeah.
And the whole expose in all the magazines a couple of years ago. And then a lot of people got very involved in this and they dedicated property upstate. And there are groups. They have different people, different types of people. They employ volunteer. They employ to bury Seamus in a much more dignified way. Okay, and they give hechsherim on. It became a whole.
Yeah.
It became a business. The whole thing about it. But you don't need to do that when you have a newspaper. You have a newspaper. It's not the words are not put on the page by a human being. It's put on the page by a printer. There is no sanctity. There's no sanctity. So you want it, but I read it. I looked at it, and my reading the words, and even saying the words, has now given the paper sanctity. Good try, nice try, no cigar. You're reading the words on the piece of paper. I now have a beautiful Chedushei Torah. I have water still by the Shabbos table. The bottom line is, the words were put on the piece of paper by a machine, not by a human being. It was put there with the kavanah that it should be disposed of. There was no kavanah that should ever remain permanent. So it has no kedusha. You can put it, you can dispose of it. Just do not, it should be dignified. Don't walk in the street and see lying on the garbage together with all the other shmutz to go see the talayos, the stuff, that all the things that you find on the shul table. Just dispose of it in a dignified way.
The Balkari, who was the Gabbai, they brought to the Levaya and they put boxes into the
Gabbai. Because they put Svarim, those are Svarim. A Sefer is different. Now, you'll ask the question, what about a Sefer? Why then, if a Sefer today is only printed, so why can't we just put the Sefer and dispose of the Sefer in a dignified way, in the recycling bin? You put the Sefer in a plastic bag in the recycling bin. If you don't need a Sefer, why? No one actually wrote the words. So you know something? It's not so simple. It's not so simple that you can't do that. Now, we don't do that. But why not? Why don't you take a Sefer? This Sefer right here, okay? You finish with it, right? You finish with it, and put it in a plastic bag and put it in a recycling bin. Why should this be different than a piece of paper lying on the table? The reason why a piece of paper lying on the table, you can dispose of it in the recycling bin, is because no one invested Kedusha into this object. It came out of a printer. A printer is not there's no kavana, and just because you read it doesn't give you Kedusha, so why should a Sefer be any different? So the answer is, it's not necessarily so different, but being that this was printed with the kavana that it remain, it be an object that is used in a shul, in a home, as a Sefer, that is what gives it a higher level of Kedusha. That automatically, it's all a matter of your kavana. It's bound. The rule generally is, it also be able to trace him. If you go far on the table, you hear from Avigdor Miller, every week, right, Avigdor Miller. It's a kuntres. Has a cover. Has a nice cover. It's soft covered. So can you throw that in the recycling bin? Yes, you can. I'm not going to find the place that will tell you that you have to go take all of those kuntres and they strewn all over the shuls. Why is that kuntres? One thing you'll tell me, a piece of paper, okay. But a kuntres, which has 25 pieces of paper stapled, and of the cover, and a copyright, and who knows what, there in a letter of Ahakdama and Haskama, why is that little kuntres they put on the table different than the Sefer? It's not really much different. The only answer is, there's an understanding that people don't have a place to put this in shul, on the shelf, and they want to get rid of it when it's over. So the kavan is, it's going to go in the garbage. This, you're not having a kavan, a chas v'shalom, to dispose of this. The kavan is to put this on the shelf. That elevates its sanctity, where you're not allowed to dispose of it in by putting it in the recycle bin. You have to be absolutely certain it is disposed of, but they're covered by putting it in Shemus. Yeah. Regular garbage. Because the hardcover they can't deal with. The laws. Okay. Yes, there is. Yes, Tashmisha Mitzvah. Yes, there is. Yes, there is. A Sefer has a status of Kedusha where you have to be certain it's going to be disposed of in a dignified way. Now, what about recycling? Let's say you know for a fact. Why don't we put it in the recycling bin? So the answer is because we don't know what's going to happen to it. They're going to recycle it. They're not going to recycle it. They're going to take parts of it and throw it in the garbage. It will end up in a state of bizoyin. We have very great doubts. What would happen if you would put a Sefer today in the recycling bin? Where does it go? What part of it goes recycle? But let's say you know for a fact, if you would put a Sefer in a recycling bin, they would actually recycle it. they would actually do whatever they do, whatever chemical process they do in order, would that be permitted? So you'll say no, why not? Because they're going to end up making the New York Times out of it. They'll take your Sefer and they'll turn it into a book of Avi Kursis. So who knows what they'll do with it? But let us say you know for a fact that if you put this Sefer in a special bin, it will be transformed into a new Sefer. Okay? They'll make this into another Sefer. So then, is it permitted to recycle a Sefer and do a chemical process where the ink and the whatever will dissipate, and but it will be come back to life as another Sefer? Some say yes. Some say that's permitted, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So if you put that Sefer, even in the recycle, when the drug will dump the contents of the drug, all Sfarim will be...
Right, exactly. It's a bezoyan. It's a bezoyan.
So now you do the same thing, but you first shred it. It would not be
a bezoyan. So that might be if you but shredding it itself is a bezoyan. To take the words of Torah of a sefer.
I don't know if Pinchas does this on purpose, but what he does is the sperm that he's going to put into Shamus, he keeps in the backyard outside, so yeah. It leaves it there half a year, and the rain takes care of it.
It causes it to dissolve.
And once it's like that, he puts it in the bag and he puts it inside.
Some of his methods have been challenged.
Right.
We know that. That's a fact. Okay, some people are very upset, and he's changed. He definitely has been more careful in the later years. But I mean, you know, you can't really blame him. I mean, the amount of Seamus is just not to be believed. It is astronomical. The amount of Seamus that is out there. And it's a very, very big problem, and everyone is. What is? You can't blame him because it's just not to be believed. What do you do with it? How do you deal with the volume? It's very, very challenging. It's ridiculous. The shul can't afford to deal with it. And years ago, how much did they bring already? Today, everyone has a printer. Everyone is putting. Look, you see what goes on in shul. You come to shul erev Shabbos. It's not to be believed. The whole table is filled to the top with paper loch and who knows what. Before you turn around, you have a mound of things. Years ago, we had such a thing. We didn't have such a thing like that. It was nothing.
Some rabbis don't like people to bring stuff because they listen to speeches besides
talking. Guess what? No one reads what it says in it anymore. Yeah. Years ago, people would read. Today, I don't see people reading too much.
It's an
English
thing.
What? I don't know.
So you're saying that if someone takes they print out the
Daf
Yomi's and they have that is
Mamashemis,
right?
No, it's not. If
because
they
you're saying once you
a printer,
that's
the yes. If there's no cover, if it is printed with right. The intent that it will be disposed of, then it is mutter to put in a plastic bag and put in the recycling bin. If you print photocopies of a Daf, what I do when we used right. To a Daf, I print photocopies. When I collect, what I do with it, I neatly put it together, I put it in a plastic bag, and I put it in the recycling bin together with all the newspaper. You ought to do that. But if a piece of this Sefer rips out, you're not Seamus. Why? Because it was part of a Sefer. And being that it has a Sefer, it has a cover. They all talk about a cover. Today, a cover is not a raya anymore because desktop publishing has made it so easy, you can make a cover also. It's not a big deal to make a cover either. But because the idea is that the intent of printing this is not to throw out tomorrow. After you finish learning it, you're going to put it on the shelf. It's going to be a for reference. It's going to be a Sefer. A Sefer automatically gets a status of sanctity that is significant where you just can't put it in the recycling bin. You have to know where it is going. Now, let's say you do indeed know where it's going. Let's say you're going to give it away and it's going to be shredded. It's not going to be. That might be a disgrace also just to shred it. But let's say it's going to be recycled. You can argue recycling is not a bezoyon because the ultimate good is it's going to be reused. But if it's going to be reused for secular purposes, that's a disgrace. But they have an Eretz Yisrael. We have a whole article about this. It's a certain type of shameless removal where, if anyway you're going to recycle, anyway they're recycling is to have a special deposit of Sfarim where it will be recycled, and the paper that is produced from this batch will only go to printers, Melechas HaKodesh, to different different places where they're printing Sfarim. They will be the ones that will get the paper that will come from that way. You'll save the environment. Okay, you don't have to go take all these volumes and volumes and volumes and go and bury it somewhere. Or you don't have to do, just look the other way and it'll end up in the garbage, which happens many times with Seamus. You can give it new life. And to go say you can't erase it, it's not really true because it doesn't have any real Kedusha. It's a Chumrah that we have accepted upon ourselves because we treat it like a Dover Shel Kodesh, because we want it to be preserved, no different than if we actually wrote inside of it. Yeah.
Setlach,
yeah.
I'm just saying, the amount that I saw there,
it's mind-boggling.
Over here now, I'm sure.
It's just mind-boggling, the volume. 40, 50, and what do they do with it?
You're right, I don't know.
They threw it in the garbage. There's no question about it. Also, in the garbage. Were they going to bury it? They didn't bury it. There's no place to bury it there. They threw it in the garbage. Now they're doing the recycling, so that's the biggest, because everybody told me they want to recycle. They want to recycle. In America, you can't really do it. There's not enough of a market. There's not enough of a... We're not... What?
Goes to China, and the recycled paper is never used for printing. It's used for packaging.
Okay, so
the packaging paper, which is recycled, goes to building materials.
Building materials. Okay, so there was an effort in Eretz Yisrael, I read about this a while ago, to recycle Sfarim instead of putting them in Seamus, that Sfarim should be, there should be a special way to recycle Sfarim, and that it's no violation of halacha, and it'll save the environment, it'll save everyone money, v'chulu v'chulu. Does it really save money? It could be more expensive to, you know, all the equipment, the whole process. It doesn't necessarily work, but it's definitely a very big problem. But here we've learned over here an incredible chiddush. We learned over here. No. A sefer Torah has the ultimate kedusha. The klaf, the ink, the dioy, the kavana. There's nothing. So we're talking about their printed books. Today, printing is different because we're not right. Just to recap what we learned today. We learned of an incredible, incredible chiddush, is that when you have a sefer, now you have to remember, he's discussing the really when you're actually writing something. The reason why probably today we're very lenient, we don't follow this. First of all, not everything that the sefer Chassidim says we follow, period. But there's a very big fundamental difference between what he is discussing and what we're doing today. He is discussing where you're actually writing the chumash. I'm writing on the piece of paper the psukim, and I'm writing my commentary. And my commentary is the ikor, and the chumash is the tofa. But I wrote it with my own hands. If I wrote it with my own hands to study, that is the bezayin. Today, we're not writing nothing. No one's writing anything today. Today, everything is coming out of a printer, coming out of some high-tech gadget that's spitting. So there's no real kedusha anyway. Still, there's a flavor. What's the ikur? What's the tafel? You're printing a whole chumash. And the only reason why you're printing the chumash is because in the back of the chumash you have your chidushim. And you want people to learn your chidushim. If I go and I print my chidushim, no one's going to buy it. But if I'll print my chidushim in the back of a chumash, well, I need a chumash. And it's a beautiful chumash. No, your chidushim are in the back. All right, I'll tolerate it. I'll tolerate your chidushim in the back of the chumash. But the only reason why I published the Chumash is because of my Chidushim. It's a bezoyin, right? What?
I was in a printing place with printing books. They print big pieces of paper, like 10 tables, like 2-3 tables together, and the pages are completely out of order. And it has like, then it's cut, and it conveyor goes, and then a machine
puts it all together and stitches it.
Glues it and stitches it. And in the end, it goes a conveyor, puts in this, and this, so they are not written
They do nothing.
Even in an order. One page is here, one
it's
page
totally computerized. Totally computerized. There's no human input. Yeah. No human input. That's why today there's no kiddush. No kiddush. That's why there's so much more ground to be much, much more lenient than all of these issues, because you're not investing in it any real kiddusha. You're not right. When you write, that's where the real kiddusha lies. If we don't write, but we preserve it as a sefer, we give it kiddusha. But then you talk about this issue. What's the tefil? At least we should walk away with a degree of sensitivity. If he can, the Sefer Chassidim can write this, and there's something we never would think about in the 21st century. You're going to write a Sefer and put the Chumash on the top and the commentary on the bottom? What kind of nonsense is this? It's a disgrace. The only reason why you're putting it is because of your commentary. How dare you?
He will not approve
even
this on the side.
Why? This is okay. What's wrong with this?
No, but the commentary.
The comment, I mean, the only reason why, no, I don't think that this is different. This the Iker is the Sefer Chassidim. It's a commentary. The Iker is the only reason why we're learning this is because of we wouldn't even have the Sefer Chassidim. The commentary is secondary. But it's not Chumash. This is a different concept. All right, it's a very unique sensitivity, and at least we should take that out of this halacha.
You should see the print is like the art scroll. Old guy, 95% of the two guys are Jewish, and the way they leave it on the floor,
yeah.
It'll become, it's something.